And we might just mention in that connection that this section is not talking about Christians that don't see it quite my way, right? These are not just Christians who we look at one scripture and we come to two different conclusions, and I say, oh, well, you're one of these folks that is one of these false prophets or one of these false spirits, the spirit of Antichrist. We have that word Antichrist again in verse 3. We cannot speak of a true believer as having this spirit, the spirit of Antichrist. There are no believers that have the spirit of Antichrist because we have the spirit of God. And where the spirit of God is, there's not going to be any unclean spirit. There's not going to be any evil spirit allowed, permitted to have, to control that believer. There can be influence, perhaps, like there was with Peter in the denial of the Lord Jesus. But this is not going to refer to a true believer. And we might just mention there that this is the second section that addresses the Antichrist. We have the spirit of Antichrist, and there's a similar reference, just if we turn the page to 2 John, a couple of pages, just to see that 2 John verse 7 talks about, again, many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And we usually think of the antichrist as this great figure that's to come. But it's very striking to see. And already now, this activity in this vein is already in the world. So it even just is all the more striking to think of the things that are promised to come in the book of Revelation, though we don't expect to be here for very many of them at all, we will expect, we can expect to see the world heading in that direction. And it's good to be equipped and warned that though we will not be here for the full development of that, it's already a warning for us. Another thing that just goes along with what you mentioned, Tim, in this regard is this, you might have heard of this Gospel of Judas, this document that was just recently translated and then published and so on. A concerted effort, you know, the timing I think is just striking too. That right around the same time as this movie, similar time as Easter time, when people are thinking of exalting Christ, even the nominal Christian world thinks of giving Christ some measure of place at that time. And just at this time, this publication comes out. It was presented. Here's an ancient document that you really should consider when you're trying to figure out who the historical Jesus was. And yet, it was written after this epistle of John. It was from somewhere in the mid-100s that it was written. And it was even known as a heretical writing by the Christians of the second century AD. And it's exactly what John was speaking against. So it has no bearing on real Christianity. But it's presented as, oh, here's another idea to consider. You should really, you know, weigh all these things equally. John was already identifying this error here, and this is exactly that same thought that is coming out to be aware of.
So we have the Spirit of God, we have the test for the teaching, and as it relates to the world. Later on, in the next section, in verse 6, we have another test.
Yeah.
And the test is the apostles' doctrine, if I can put it that way. It says, they that are born of God will hear us. And John, I think, is referring to the apostles here. And we talked about this earlier in the week about Demas having forsaken Paul, having loved this world. He forsook the apostles' doctrine. How does discernment get developed? It becomes by being schooled in the apostles' doctrine. We need to be educated. We need to have the Word of God, because the Spirit of God works in conjunction with the Word of God in order that we can have the discernment to attest and to test the teaching and the spirits that are in the world. Not that we occupy with the spirits that are in the world. We're occupied with the God who has granted us life and given us these resources. And so, as we've all heard the analogy, we don't evaluate K counterfeit money by trying to examine every version of counterfeit money that exists. We examine and have a thorough understanding of what the genuine thing is. And so as we, as, you know, counterfeiters are, you know, you'll have a counterfeit as creative as the number of counterfeiters there are. But there's only one true model. And so you become completely familiarized with the one true model, the accurate model, then any counterfeit that comes by, you understand it and can quickly identify it. So here, John says the other thing that you do is, the evidence is that they hear us. They hear the apostles' word. That's how the discernment is between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If it doesn't conform to the apostles' doctrine, New Testament scripture, Old Testament scripture, working together as unity, that's how we also know.
Any other comments on this section? We probably should move on to the next group of verses, but anything else on this important section?
Just a really common deception that is going around these days is this mixing in of New Age teaching with Christian teaching, like we've had in the Purpose-Driven Church and the Purpose-Driven Life, which have been very popular publications. And these are not pure writings doctrinally, because they seek to mix in what is human with and Eastern mysticism teaching with what we know to be the truth of the Word of God. So I know they have been extremely popular, but it sure doesn't make them accurate. And just something that the New Age movement tries to do is mix this idea of being able to attain perfection or attaining the Christ spirit. And basically the teaching is that Jesus Christ was man just the rest, like the rest of us, but he attained this higher level of contact or connection with God, and that we're all able to do that. And that's not true.
So it's good to be aware of things. I was just going to mention one more comment on the Antichrist just before we leave it. Tim had mentioned, he and I were talking about this afterwards yesterday and today. Tim had mentioned the writings of John that refer to the Antichrist and mentioned the reference in Revelation as the full development of that. And just to mention that if you're looking for that reference, you won't find the word Antichrist in Revelation. But, for example, in chapter 13, there's the development of that, the features of this Antichrist. But it is the writings of John that identify this spirit already now, and then the actual the person who is considered.
But
that.
I would also add in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, mm-hmm.
That's true too.
He's characterized there again, right. And also in Revelation chapter,
it's called there in
the man of sin. Yeah. He's called the man of sin and the lawless one, and in Revelation chapter 16, he's mentioned again in the characteristics again. So chapter 13. Chapter 16 of Revelation, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So we do have one other place where he's characterized, at least, and but particularly John's writings emphasize and name him.
Just one quick question. I just don't want to keep this too long, but end of verse 4. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. One quick comment that, you know, sometimes we can get overwhelmed by Satan and his power and what he's doing. It's so wonderful to see that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That the Lord is more powerful than the enemy. You know, some people go around being so scared of the enemy. But our God is much more powerful than the enemy. I think that's important for us to be aware of.